Hey guys, it's Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops going over the preseason action for the games that were played December 17th, 2020. It is Friday and preseason basketball is almost over and we will be getting the start of the regular season, which means the start of our fantasy basketball season. I know a lot of you are drafting this weekend, so I wanted to get this information out to you right away. Feel free to visit my website. You can actually get this information even sooner. That's www.BrockLesnarHoops.com. But you didn't come here for self-promotion. You came here to get the details on last night's games. Dwayne Bacon is somebody who keeps getting my attention. He keeps getting decent amount of playing time. And when he's getting playing time, he's somebody that can score and get you some threes. In this game, he made 4 of his 8 shots, hit his 1 3-pointer. Got you a steal, 2 turnovers, and overall didn't help them win, as you can see by the -7, but he's a guy who should be available in a lot of deep leagues, and it looks like he may have a starting role. As you can see, he played almost 26 minutes compared to someone like Terrence Ross, who only played 18. That's something to keep an eye on moving forward. Aaron Gordon played 24 minutes, missed 6 of his 10 shots. The 9 rebounds is nice. The block is nice. He had 0 turnovers, but Aaron Gordon's just a guy that doesn't excite me a whole lot. And it's because of stat lines that he puts up like this. I thought when he was drafted, he had all the tools to be a superstar. That has not panned out. Nikola Vucevic had a very typical Nikola Vucevic game. And I just wanted to highlight him here because it shows why he's such a good fantasy player and why he's normally ranked really highly when he's has managed to stay healthy. In this game, he shot 60% from his 20 shots that he took, hit 12, hit 3 3-pointers, 12 rebounds, an assist, a steal, no blocks, 2 turnovers, and that's what you can expect from Nikola Vucevic. Some high field goal percentage scoring. He's going to hit some threes, but he's not going to get blocks for you. He's a pretty good rebounder. I think he's a very solid player and somebody you should definitely consider in the third round. Markel Fultz missed 10 of his 16 shots, hit 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Definitely like to see that. Had 14 points. I think his free throw percentage and his threes probably aren't going to be a strong suit, but the 2 free throws that he made, that's pretty nice. Hopefully he is able to get those shots to go down. He's probably not going to take a lot of threes in that field goal percentage because he probably won't take a lot of threes. I'd say that it's going to be average, maybe slightly above average for the season. I like the idea of picking him closer to pick 100, but if you really like him and believe in him, he may be worth reaching for a little bit. Terrence Ross, who I mentioned, somebody I haven't drafted in many teams. He's very streaky. He can hit a lot of 3-pointers. As you can see here, he did get you a steal, only had 1 turnover. But he's losing playing time to Dwayne Bacon. Yes, it's preseason, but that seems to have been the case this entire time. Ken Birch, I added him here because I really like his ability to get you blocks, rebounds, and score in limited minutes. Definitely in a deeper format, he's someone I'm going to consider for his ability to do all those things. He made 5 of his 6 shots. Really solid game from him. Cole Anthony played almost 20 minutes, had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, made 3 of his 4 3-pointers, hit both of his free throws. So he's had a much better preseason after his first game, and I'm assuming that playing time is probably going to go up as the season advances. He's going up in my rookie radar of players I would potentially have on my team, but for right now, I probably wouldn't draft him unless it's 14 teams or more. On the Hornets, Cody Martin was notable to me, played almost 24 minutes, which stood out, had 9 points, 2 steals, nothing too notable outside of that, but he did get some playing time in this game, so he may be a beneficiary of the Gordon Hayward finger injury. PJ Washington, somebody I've been preaching to you guys this whole season, off-season. He's been missing his shots, but he got you a steal, he got you a block, and he got you a 3-pointer. And I always tell you guys that's really why I like PJ Washington. And if he's getting minutes at center and also getting more usage and touches because of the Gordon Hayward injury, he's a must draft in my opinion, especially if it's after pick 100. He's one of my favorite targets around that range. Cody Zeller appears to be the starting center for the Hornets. He puts up some low-end production. He's somebody you could probably get at the end of the draft. In the past, he's been a guy that can get you some steals, can get you a little bit of blocks, doesn't hurt your free throw percentage tremendously. Normally has had a high field goal percentage, but he's been pretty injury prone the last few years, and I'm not very excited for him. But in a deeper format, I'd say maybe 16 teams or deeper, he may be worthy of. Devontae Graham played 28 minutes at 18 points, 6 assists, and he seems to be coexisting really nicely with Terry Rozier, who had 20 points himself, and he made he got 7 rebounds, had 3 steals. And it seems to me that Gordon Hayward being down has just really opened things up. There's not as much of a logjam, and they seem to be flowing well because their 3-point guards had really good games. With LaMelo Ball, you had him scoring 18 points, definitely better than his 0-point performance to start the preseason. He got you a steal, 5 assists. He played 26 minutes, and I'm really warming up to LaMelo Ball as a potential player that can help you win fantasy basketball games. He's probably going to be more of a punt free throw, field goal percentage guy, but definitely love to see the 4 3-pointers. He took 9 of them and hit 4. I think he's going to be very similar to Lonzo Ball in his ability to get you some rebounds, some steals, some assists, some scoring on bad field goal percentage, though I assume he's going to be a better free throw percentage shooter than his brother was. Miles Bridges also had a really nice game. He had 17 points in the 23 minutes he played, hit 8 of his 12 shots, took 5 3-pointers, and that's the kind of game I want to see from him. But with Gordon Hayward back in the mix, all of these guys are not going to produce to this level. But it kind of shows the fantasy production that they can put up, and probably would have put up had Gordon Hayward not gone there. For the Pistons, and I apologize, I forgot to include him here, but you know what? Hold on. We're going to pull it up right now, because Blake Griffin had an awful game. I didn't include him in this list. I should have included him. He played 25 minutes. I believe he had 2 points. I'm not drafting Blake Griffin. If you want to draft him, go right ahead. But pretty much all my roster slots in the 12-team league, there's guys I'd rather get, to be completely honest with you. He's injury prone every year. Every year people pick him in the top 100. Last year was like top 50 because of his past and because he's a very skilled player. But just like all previous years, he continues to get injured over and over and over again. I think his best fantasy days are behind him. I'm not drafting him. Look up his production he had. Sorry it's not included here. But moving on, Jeremy Grant is a forward on that team I do believe in. Finally had a better scoring performance at 3 of his 5 3-pointers. Still no steals and blocks. The 4 turnovers, that's a lot of turnovers. But I'm really hoping to see him get those steals and blocks numbers up. He was plus 8. Mason Plumlee's another low-end center option. The 3 steals is very nice. Had 8 points. Made 4 of his 8 shots. And it looks like he's going to be the starting center on this Pistons team. As a starting center, he's getting 20-25 minutes. Definitely a guy you may want to consider if you're really thin on bigs and you're in a 14-team league or deeper. You could probably find somebody like Maxi Kleber instead in the 12-team league. So Mason Plumlee would be somewhat of a desperation pickup in a 12-team league. Dellen Wright had a very strong performance and is someone in the past that has been a fantasy darling, specifically when he was with the Memphis Grizzlies. He was a guy that could get you a lot of steals, blocks, and hit some threes. In this game, he did a little bit of that. He got hit five of his 7 shots at 3 of his 4 3-pointers. He got you 3 steals, and he was plus 6 in the minutes he played. He only played 18 minutes and scored 13 points. That is the upside with Dellen Wright, and he may have a better path to minutes than he had last year with the Dallas Mavericks. So keep an eye on him. Killian Hayes continues to struggle. Only took 6 shots. He only played 19 minutes. And I still believe Tyrese Haliburton is the rookie to have. not Killian Hayes. I've seen Killian Hayes go pretty high in drafts. I've avoided him. Some rookies have impressed me. He has not impressed me as much as some of the other rookies who I would be targeting. And I had Derrick Rose here because he played 24 minutes, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, did have a block, but the 3 turnovers, no steals, no 3-pointers made. That is why Derrick Rose tends to hurt you in fantasy, and why if you're picking Derrick Rose as like one of your top 3-point guards, you're probably a little thin at the position. On the Wizards, Isaac Bonga had 33 minutes played. He made 4 of his 6 shots. The 3 steals is nice, along with the 7 rebounds. He was minus 16 in the minutes he played. Franz Wagner showing why he's one of my favorite deep league sleepers. He can just produce in very limited minutes. In this one, he got 26 minutes, though he only got 4 points. Really loved the 8 rebounds, the 3 assists, and he took 2 3-pointers. Hit both of 2 of his 4 shots. He's a guy, if there's ever an injury to Thomas Bryant or one of the other bigs in the rotation for the Wizards, I really like his ability to help you. He's probably not going to help you outside of a deeper format right now, but he's somebody to keep in mind if you ever see some injuries to that front court for the Wizards. Thomas Bryant, who I just mentioned, had an amazing game. He was minus 17, and part of the reason Moritz Wagner, I identified him, is he was plus 6, so he was helping his team while he was out there. Thomas Bryant was minus 17, but he scored 11 points. The 5 turnovers definitely did not help, but he had 4 blocks, a steal, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, hit 6 of his free throws, hit 1 of his 3 3-pointers, and the 2 of 7 shooting is not typical for him, so it's not something I would worry about. But this just really shows the fantasy potential of Thomas Bryant, and if he stays healthy, there's no reason why he can't be a top 50 caliber player, if not higher. Bradley Beal barely played in this game. Nothing too notable. He did get a block, and I really like Bradley Beal's abilities to hit blocks. So that's something I value highly. The 3 turnovers in 16 minutes, that I'm not crazy about. He was minus 12 in the time he played. Danny Avdija had 2 steals, had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Only hit 3 of his 8 shots, and he missed all 4 of his 3-pointers. Just again, another streaky rookie, though it is nice to see him get 32 minutes in this game. Keep in mind, though, that Davis Bertans has not played yet due to conditioning issues because he came to camp late. So once he's up and running, he should be getting a lot of minutes, and that would probably affect Denny significantly. Troy Brown Jr., somebody else I wanted to give a shout out as a nightly notable. He had 14 points in his 23 minutes, at 2 3-pointers, hit all of his free throws. He also had a steal. Somebody else that you may want to consider in a really deep format if he's available to you. On the Spurs, several Spurs had really rough games. DeMar DeRozan, while he had, he missed several of his shots. He was 5 of 13. He did get 11 free throws, and he hit all 11. And that's one of his biggest strengths. He's a huge, huge boost to your free throw percentage because he takes volume and he hits a ton, a really high percentage of them. That's why I tend to like to target him. He normally has a high field goal percentage as well because he doesn't really take threes. The thing with him is he doesn't get a whole lot of steals and blocks. So that's something to keep in mind whenever you're taking DeMar DeRozan. He gave somebody I identified who may have some low-end value. If you want to take a flyer with the end of your in the 12-team league, but he's probably better suited for something like a 14-team league. He made 4 of his 10 shots, got you a steal, and he's not the player he used to be, but he looks like he's secured a starting role on that team. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guy that normally is picked within the top 60 picks, and here's why I haven't drafted him on any of my teams. He missed 9 of his 12 shots. Got 5 rebounds, the 2 steals, and 3 blocks. That's really nice. Typically not numbers you're going to get from him, but just in the other areas, he was pretty putrid. It looks like he's on the downturn of his career. He's never been a great fit with the San Antonio Spurs, and now that he's aged, he's kind of aged out of the game a bit. I don't know how good of a fantasy asset he's going to be for me to burn a top 60 pick on him, so I haven't drafted him. Somebody I have drafted with a top 60 pick is DeJounte Murray. While his 7 of 17 shooting isn't the best, I love the 10 rebounds, the 4 assists, the steal. He's a guy that can normally get you more steals than that, and he could sprinkle in some blocks. The 3 turnovers to 4 assists, I don't like that a whole lot. But with 17 points in 27 minutes, I think he has all the potential in the world to be a guy who's going to help you win fantasy basketball. Devin Vassell. I'm assuming that's the correct pronunciation, but he has been catching my eye this preseason. Check out this game. He took 13 shots. He made 8 of them, hit 2 of his 4 three-pointers, had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, had 18 points. And compared to the other guys on the team, he was only minus 2 versus DeMar DeRozan, minus 23, Rudy Gay, minus 20, LaMarcus Aldridge, minus 26. So that bodes really well for his playing time. Patty Mills is somebody who may have some short-term value while Derek White is dealing with that toe injury and surgery that he had, which he'll be out for the next few weeks. He was minus 22, but he hit 4 of his 10 three-pointers. The fact he took 10 three-pointers shows you what role he's going to have. If I'm in an 18-team league or deeper, I'm definitely considering Patty Mills and maybe even in some 16-team leagues. Drew Eubanks was notable to me for the fact that he hit 8 points in 12 minutes, hit both of his shots. He had a block, so I wanted to give him a shout out for that, and he was plus 8 in the 12 minutes that he played. Now on to the Rockets. Daniel House Jr., somebody that I've hyped up a lot this preseason and tell you to pick with your last pick in the draft, showing a little bit more of what it is that I like. He got that 3-pointer, got you a steal, got you a block. He was plus 31 in the minutes he played. Definitely want to see that field goal percentage go up, but his ability to get steals, blocks, and 3-pointers, and on that team that's just pretty barren as far as guard talent, I expect him to get a significant amount of playing time. Christian Wood had his first game for the Rockets, and wouldn't you know it, he destroyed it. He had 27 points, 10 rebounds, a steal, a block, hit 2 of his 6 3-pointers, and he shot almost 56% from the field on 18 shots. What more do you want from the guy? But this right here shows the upside that he has. He's been great in combination with James Harden. I don't expect the DeMarcus Cousins to affect his playing time a whole lot. They signed him to be their big man of the future, and I'm very excited for him. If you're drafting him, you might have to draft him in the 3rd or 4th round, or other people are going to snatch him up. I've avoided picking him that high just because of the uncertainty. He's never had that role for super long. But so far, with this performance, is just showing you why he's worthy of consideration there. Eric Gordon had a really strong game. He was plus 27, had 23 points, 5 assists, 4 of 9 three-pointers made. And this was a throwback game for Eric Gordon. Will he continue to play this way? Probably not. It remains to be seen. He's been pretty injury prone and a field goal percentage killer for the last couple of seasons. But if he has a few more games like this, you may want to start considering him in your 12-team leagues or deeper. Bruno Caboclo, wanted to give him a shout out again. I feel this is the 3rd time now. He played almost 20 minutes, made 5 of his 8 shots, had a steal. He was plus 2. Had 12 points in only 19 minutes. And again, just showing the upside that he has when he's getting playing time. Will he get playing time? I don't believe he'll get a whole lot of it this season. Maybe towards the end of the year, though, depending on how the Rockets are in the playoff seeding, we may get unleashed Bruno Caboclo, which would be exciting to see. On the Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks had a really strong performance. He made 10 of his 15 shots, had 4 assists, a block. He was plus 18 in the minutes he played. Kyle Anderson, again, showing why he's a very valuable fantasy basketball player. And he hit 3 of his 4 shots. That's something you normally don't get from Kyle Anderson, but he hit 3 of his 4 shots. Had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover. He was plus 29. So he's just a really helpful guy when he's out there. And with Jaren Jackson Jr. injured, if he's getting 25 more or more minutes per game, he's somebody to consider with your last pick in a 12-team league. Jonas Valanciunas with an amazing game, hit 7 of his 9 field goals, hit both of his 3-pointers, all 4 of his free throws, had 13 rebounds, a steal, a block, only 1 turnover, had 20 points, and he did all his damage in 28 minutes per game. I don't know what there is to be upset about with a performance like that. That boy Ja was cooking in this one. He made 7 of his 12 shots, got 13 assists in 27 minutes with 2 steals, was plus 27, 18 points, and the reigning rookie of the year is putting teams on notice. He really went off, and he completely outplayed Trae Young. Very excited to see him. If you picked him with one of your first 3-round picks, you probably aren't very regretful at the moment. He has huge upside, and I think he's going to make a huge leap. The Anthony Melton, I had him listed here. He was plus 16 in the minutes he played. Made 2 of his 5 three-pointers, and I identify him as a guy similar to some of these other guys that I mentioned, like Chris Dunn and Dylan Wright that I mentioned before, that can get you some 3 steals blocks when they're getting the minutes. But normally they hover in the 20-25 minute range unless there's injury. So the Anthony Melton, somebody else to keep an eye out in later in the round in drafts, especially in deeper formats. Brandon Clarke, he played in this one. It's nice to see him back. And he's just a guy that can produce a lot in limited minutes. And I'm hoping this year he doesn't get limited minutes. He had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and only 1 turnover. Made his only 3-pointer. So right there, his ability to hit threes, high field goal percentage, his ability to get blocks, and he's going to have low turnovers. He's one of the higher upside plays. I grabbed him in my Dynasty League where I grabbed Jaren Jackson Jr. because I expect him to really produce while Jaren Jackson is out. Though Jonas Valanciunas playing so well might mean that he never gets the opportunity to start when the team is fully healthy. On the Hawks, which we just discussed, DeAndre Hunter was minus 17, but he scored 22 points, hit 5 of his 8 three-pointers. Definitely love to see that. Had a steal, only 1 rebound and no assist, but he got 29 minutes in this game. So DeAndre Hunter looks to be a big part of that rotation. John Collins, there's a lot of people calling him a bust candidate this year because of all of the additions. And with a game like this, it looks like there may be some credence to what they're saying. He was minus 21 at 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, no blocks. Only made 4 of his 10 shots and missed both of his 3-pointers. I still think he's going to produce at a very high level. So I guess the jury's still out on that, right? Bogdan Bogdanovic played 27 minutes, missed 7 of his shots, missed 4 of his 5 three-pointers, and got a steal on the block, which is nice, but he's been underwhelming so far, in my opinion, this preseason. Trae Young had a rough game up against Morant. He had 15.6 assists. He was minus 18. It should, however, be noted that Bogdan Bogdanovic was plus 4, so he did better in the minutes that he got than the majority of these other guys. Clint Capella had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, made 5 of his 9 shots, and I think that's why he makes a pretty decent target, especially in a punt free throw build where maybe you missed out on someone like Rudy Gobert earlier on, and you still want somebody who can get you a high field goal percentage, a good amount of blocks, and a good amount of rebounds. They remind me of each other. They have pretty similar production for the most part. Danilo Gallinari has been struggling so far this preseason. He only had 8 points, made 2 of his 8 shots. Cam Reddish had a notable performance with 3 steals. Definitely love to see that. Had 12 points, made 2 three-pointers. I love those guys that get me threes and steals. So he has some upside there for that reason, but he only played 19 minutes. Kevin Werder also played 18 minutes in this one, missed the majority of his shots as well, 9 of the 12 to be exact. The 2 steals, really like that. He was minus 14 in his time playing. And DeAndre Hunter seems to have a larger path to minutes. At least that's what it's appearing like at the moment. Josh Okogie was minus 29. Only played 18 minutes, but that was notable. The team did terrible when he was out there. But a player where the team did pretty good when he was out there was Jared Culver. He was plus 25. He had 18 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He drew 6 free throws and made all 6 of them. He hit 2 three-pointers. The field goal percentage wasn't great, but he really had a gem of a stat line and helped you in so many different categories. I don't think you could really hold that against him. Anthony Edwards is another rookie that people are excited about, but I haven't been drafting him. He did have 17 points on 15 shots, made 3 of his 8 three-pointers, made all 4 of his free throws, and the potential is there for him. Speaking of the other guards, however, on this team, Malik Beasley got 24 minutes, had 11 rebounds. He scored 18 points, shooting 54%, made 3 of his 4 three-pointers. So Malik Beasley had a really nice showing, but with this guard rotation, I still haven't pinpointed what direction they're going to go. As you can see, they're all playing similar minutes. If there's this degree of a timeshare that's going to impact all of their fantasy values, somebody who's definitely been impacted so far is Ricky Rubio. He made 3 of his 5 shots. He had 4 assists and a steal, but he only had 7 points and was minus 13 in his minutes played versus Malik Beasley, who was plus 7 in his minutes played. Anthony Edwards, I forgot to mention, he was plus 6 in his minutes played. Naz Reid, somebody last year when Carl Anthony Towns was injured, was a low-end big that you could pick up off the waiver wire. He had 2 blocks, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 14 points in 26 minutes played, and he's somebody you would definitely want to consider in a deeper format where you need a big who can get you some shot blocking. I think he's somebody you definitely want to consider, maybe 16 teams or deeper. I had him in a 16-team league last year, but that was because Carl Anthony Towns was injured, so maybe you want to hold off to like 18 teams or deeper. Carl Anthony Towns made 8 of his 14 shots, hit 2 three-pointers, had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. The first 4 turnovers isn't great, and he had 5 fouls. He was minus 8 in his minutes played, and I haven't drafted Carl Anthony Towns a whole lot. I've never felt this uncertain about him any given year. Normally, he's old reliable. You're probably not going to regret picking him up, so I'm not telling you not to, but there's just other players I feel are more reliable. Someone like Nikola Jokic, for example, at least for right now. Tim Hardaway Jr. on the Mavericks was plus 14. He scored 18 points, made 4 of his 5 three-pointers, which I love to see. Dorian Finney-Smith, one of those glue guys who just helps in a lot of different areas. He was plus 23 at 13 points, made all 3 of his 3-pointers, had 2 blocks. That's the sort of a production that you get from Dorian Finney-Smith. He just gives you good trickle across the board. Josh Richardson shot 62% of his 8 shots, made 3 of his 5 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He was plus 21, had 13 points, and his fit with Luka Doncic appears to be a great one. They played the exact same amount of time, so it looks like we're going to be seeing a lot of two-man game between Josh Richardson and Luka Doncic. Will Tim Hardaway Jr. beat him out? I don't think so. I think Josh Richardson's the better player. He's as good offensively, and he's better defensively, and he's a better playmaker than Tim Hardaway Jr. Maxi Kleber, I had to include him in this. In 17 minutes, made 4 of his 6 shots. All of them were three-pointers. He made 4 of his 6 three-pointers for a guy who also got you 4 blocks in this game. At 14 points, was plus 5, only played 17 minutes, 4 blocks, and 4 three-pointers. How is that not something you want with your very last pick in the draft? That's why you've seen me pick him up and suggest him. Some people have scoffed at that idea, but as long as Kristaps Porzingis is injured, he presents some of the highest three-pointer made block ability in the NBA, period. For a guy you could grab with your last pick, I want to take a flyer on him for sure. And our last, we're getting down to our last few games here. On the Kings, just a lot of rough games all around. Harrison Barnes had one of his better games, hit 7 of his 8 free throws, had 2 steals, had 17 points, but he was minus 24 in the time that he played. And Bagley played 17 minutes in this one, had 6 points. Just not a guy I'm picking up. If you want to take a flyer on him, I don't believe in him. He does have upside, but he's constantly injured, and he's just underwhelming, and there's just 2 bigs I prefer on that team with Hassan Whiteside, Rashawn Holmes, and honestly, Belishka is probably someone I prefer as well. And as you can see, Belishka played almost as many minutes and had a better performance, and he can be had a whole lot later than Marvin Bagley. So Marvin Bagley's not somebody I'm high on. He was minus 17 in the minutes he played. Rashawn Holmes played 23 minutes, made 3 of his 6 shots, had 2 blocks, 8 points. He was minus 17. Buddy Hield, missed 10 of his 13 shots, took 9 three-pointers and missed 6 of them, had 5 rebounds, a steal, 11 points. He was minus 10. Just a really rough game from the Kings backcourt. De'Aaron Fox missed 14 of his 17 attempts for a whopping 17.6% field goal. Missed all 7 of his three-pointers, but again, it's nice that he's taking them. If he starts hitting them, though, his value would go up. The 12 assists is definitely nice in 30 minutes. He's a guy who's definitely going to help you with assists and steals, but it looks like he's going to hurt your percentages. I hope he can get it together. I've talked about him a lot in the past. This year, I have not drafted him, and I don't think I plan to. If he does well, though, I may consider trading for him. Who knows? Hassan Whiteside. This is why I like Whiteside, especially in a punt free throw build. And even then, he didn't hurt you in your free throws. He made 4 or 5 in this game for 80%. 4 of 9 shots. The field goal percentage is lower than I would expect from him. 9 rebounds. The guy's an amazing rebound. He got 9 rebounds in 19 minutes. Got 2 blocks, 12 points. He was plus 6 in the minutes that he played, so he was not hurting the team. And that, again, bodes well for his playing time if the Kings want to make a run at the playoffs. And Hassan Whiteside's helping them win games. That means he's going to get playing time. And if he gets playing time in the 20 to 25 minute range, he's worth a pickup even in the 50 range. Because, again, he can get rebounds, blocks, and the free throw percentage isn't awful so far. Tyrese Haliburton, my candidate for rookie of the year, 9 points. He was plus 9. He had 7 points. Had 1 steal. I'm sorry, he had 2 steals and 2 blocks. He had 1 three-pointer, made both of his free throws. And that's what I love about this kid. He's going to play defense. He's just going to help you in so many different areas. The fact he's getting 2 steals and 2 blocks for a guy who also has the ability, if he has the ball in his hands, to get you assists. If Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox continue to struggle playing next to each other, I would not be surprised to see Tyrese Haliburton get the starting role. Maybe we'll see Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox play together and have Buddy Hield coming off the bench. But that remains to be seen, because I don't think Buddy Hield wants to play off the bench. Wanted to give a shout out to little dog Glenn Robinson. He made 3 of his 5 shots. He scored 9 points in 15 minutes. He was plus 1 in the minutes he played. Somebody you may want to consider in a 20-team league or much deeper with like your last pick, because probably won't be picked up, but he does have some offensive potential. Oh, guys, we're almost done. There were a lot of games last night. The Warriors, Andrew Wiggins had 6 turnovers, as you can see right there in that red. Made 7 of his 15 shots. The 3 of 7 three-pointers, love to see that. The steal and 3 blocks, definitely love to see that as well. If he's getting you 3-pointers, steals, and blocks, that's going to help his fantasy value. And I'll even stomach the 6 turnovers, though I'm hoping that's not going to be a trend. Had 19 points, and he was plus 16. Kelly Oubre, he was plus 19 at 22 points, had a block, made 4 of his 6 three-pointers, 8 of his 12 shots, and so far, so good with Kelly Oubre on the Warriors. And that's just the Steph Curry effect, who we are going to talk about. He makes the game easier for everyone around him. Curry was plus 11 in the minutes he played at 29 points, 2 steals, hit all his free throws, hit 6 of his 13 three-pointers. So 13 three-point attempts, why not? He's the greatest shooter of all time. The 39.1% field goal is low by Steph Curry's standards, so we're going to forgive him for this one. Marquese Chris also had a rough shooting night, but what we like from him is his ability to get rebounds, his ability to get some blocks, and also get some threes. Didn't get you the blocks or threes this game, but he definitely took the threes, and he's going to get you some blocks. He's a dynamic player who's been a bit raw and just hasn't put all the pieces together, and I think he may have an opportunity to do just that on what's looking like a pretty solid Warriors team so far. Brad Wanamaker, had to give him a shout out. In his 16 minutes, he scored 9 points. He was plus 3, had 7 rebounds, a steal, a block, and hit 2 three-pointers. Keep an eye on him in a very deep format, just in case he's able to secure a rotation role. All right, so moving on to the Clippers Jazz. The Clippers team continues to just have some very underwhelming box scores, okay? So we had Kawhi Leonard. He played 22 minutes. Nice to see him play 22 minutes in a preseason game. He was minus 11, had 13 points, a steal, 3 three-pointers. Nicholas Batum continues to get playing time, had 8 rebounds, a steal. He was minus 12. Not really liking what we're seeing from Nicholas Batum so far. I thought he'd maybe do a little bit better on that Clippers team, but so far it hasn't happened. Paul George, very aggressive with the 8 of 9 free throws drawn. He played 25 minutes, had 1 steal, 16 points, was minus 7 in those minutes. Luke Kennard played 22 minutes, made 3 of his 4 three-pointers. He was minus 6, had 13 points in 21 minutes. And I think Luke Kennard has some upside. I just had to show you guys this Blake Griffin game real quick. My bad. I just had to show you this. As you can see there, he was plus 8 in the minutes he played, but he only had 2 points, 3 fouls, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals or blocks. Only hit 1 of his 3 shots. I think Blake Griffin is cooked. I'm not big on him at all, at all, at all. Not big on him at all. All right, guys, give me one moment so we can finish up this video. So we're going to finish the rest of this video. And this is on my webpage, Brock Lesnar Hoops. And you can see a few nice things there, such as my preseason performances that have stood out to me, and they're right there. You could go see them right now. We'll be making a video very soon, probably this weekend. Be on the lookout for that. But let's go ahead and finish this specific video. Just wanted to show you the website and we can discuss it right from here. Bojan Bogdanovic, somebody I'm really high on for the Utah Jazz, huge fan of his, and just had a really, really solid game. He made 7 of his 11 shots, 5 of his 3-pointers. Didn't get you a whole lot of steals and blocks, but I really like him as a sleeper that you can get after pick 100. Last year I picked him a lot. You could see some of my old videos. I would target him after pick 100, and he ended up outperforming that and being a great player that just helped you with your scoring, helped you with your 3-pointers, helped you with your free throw percentage at a very high rate. Rudy Gobert is another player who had a pretty solid game, made 4 of his 6 shots. He had a block. Typical production for Rudy Gobert. He's a guy that you're probably going to have to grab within the top 30, 35 picks. Donovan Mitchell missed 10 of his 15 shots, had 8 assists, had 1 block. And Donovan Mitchell, I think, has Bradley Beal type upside. He's really long, has a huge wingspan. And I think he's going to be capable of getting you decent steals and blocks numbers along with some 3-pointers. Hopefully he can get his field goal percentage up higher, as that would make him potentially a top 15 guy. Right now, he's somebody you could draft in the 20 range, but he does have to work on a few things to really get into that top 10, top 15 range. And let's see, who else can we discuss? Mike Conley. Mike Conley, just not a huge fan of his game right now. The efficiency's been terrible since last year, continues to be terrible. I don't know. I think his best fantasy days are behind him. I'm not targeting him a whole lot. I don't plan to have him on any teams. If he does well, I might see him on the waiver wire at some point, and maybe I'll give him a chance then. But as far as a draft, I won't be picking him. Joe Ingles had 1 steal. Didn't have the greatest of games. He's been struggling playing with Mike Conley ever since last year. Suspect fit there between the two. And Jordan Clarkson had 19 minutes. He had 2 steals in those 19 minutes and made 7 of his 15 shots. He took 12 three-pointers. So he took more 12 three-point attempts in 19 minutes than Curry did in 30 minutes. So he's going to be taking a lot of three-pointers. Normally, he's pretty efficient. You see here, he shot 46.7% considering how many threes he took. That's pretty decent. He's going to help you with your percentages, but isn't going to help you much outside of that, though. The 2 steals in this game and 1 turnover, not bad at all, especially since you can grab him pretty late in a 12-team league. All right, guys, that is it. That is my summary of all of these games, okay? And like I said, you could go to BrockLesnarHoops.com. And you could go ahead and read some great stuff, including the psychology behind executing successful trades in your fantasy basketball league. I think that's a really good article for you that's going to be relevant once the season started. You've drafted your team and you have some holes that you want to fix and identify. The best way to do that is to get good at trading. If you haven't already, please go ahead, subscribe, like, share.
Smash that like button for me. The YouTube algorithm loves it when you feed it those likes, okay? The more likes you feed it, the more I can grow this channel, the more time I can dedicate to bringing you top quality content to help you be as prepared as possible for your fantasy basketball season. If you have not yet, it's one more thing I wanted to show you. Let me bring up my Yahoo account. You can see the teams that I'm in. You can see my dynasty team right here. Let me show you my dynasty team since I got a couple minutes. Why not? This is my dynasty team that I put together. There you see Tyrese Halliburton. I picked up Talen Horton-Tucker. Got Maxi Kleber for when Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back. Got Davis Burdens, Pascal Siakam, Bam Adebayo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Ja Morant, Drew Holiday, Luka Doncic. This is a 10-team league. Came in sixth last year, but the season ended up short. I did end up beating this guy the week that we played together, and this guy has a loaded team and has had a loaded team since I entered this league. He has James Harden, Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, DeAndre Ayton. Just a lot of top five players. That's really hard to overcome, but I think I have a really good chance this year. I thought I had a really good chance last year, but the season ended short. But the thing I really wanted to show you is the Brock Lesnar Hoops League. Hoops Cash League is still open. As you can see here, my Brock Lesnar Hoops League, that's my free league. That one is full, but there are still four slots available in the Brock Lesnar Hoops Cash League. Do you want to know how you can get to it? I'm going to show you right now. I need you to come to Brock Lesnar Hoops Fantasy Basketball, and you're going to see a lot of content here from Brock Lesnar. Then you're going to scroll down and you're going to see this League Safe link, okay? Then you're going to click that League Safe link. You're going to click that League Safe link, and you are going to go ahead, click pay now, pay the $25. You're going to let me know either on that post on Facebook or comment on one of my YouTube videos. You need to give me confirmation that you've paid the $25. But once I've received that confirmation, you will get the invite to that league. The draft is tomorrow. It is tomorrow. So let's pull it up so you can see when this draft is, okay? The draft is scheduled tentatively for tomorrow. Let's see. Let's look at the draft time. How do I confirm the draft time? I know it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow at, here we go. Oh, apparently it's in 3 days. Never mind. It's actually on Monday, December 21st. So I think I extended it to make sure we get 12 people in there. So you have some time left. So if you want to get in this league, time is running out because we're going to draft 8 p.m. Eastern time, Monday, December 21st. So it is time that you go ahead and join. There's plenty of subscribers already in, and I'm very excited to play against them. And again, just wanted to show you my credentials here. Diamond level. Finished diamond 7 times. Winning percentage is 67%. My record's 1008, 473 with 71 ties. So the things I'm telling you are legitimate and they work for me. A lot of these have been money leagues. I've made some good earnings on money leagues, and I want you to make some earnings on money leagues. And even if you play for free, I want you to earn bragging rights because those are important. Thank you so much for watching. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. Have a great day.